She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot of fun planned for today. But first, we have to tackle all the Dr. Fauci news, all the masks news, but there is a lot of other things to talk about, and we'll be taking calls.
The Fauci ouchie.
Yes. But it is important we talk about this. It's definitely the story on people's minds, I think, because a lot of people are fearful that we're going to go back to the way it was before. Joining me, I'm very excited, is Dr. Nan Hayworth, the first female MD to serve a full term as a member of Congress. You can find her on Twitter at Nan Hayworth. Doctor, thank you for joining the show.
Grace, always my privilege. Thank you.
The first thing I have to ask you, Doctor, is I want to talk about this model. You know, for a long time, we heard about models for the COVID, the coronavirus, the first time around. And now Jake Tapper had Dr. Fauci on. I'm sure you're sick of hearing from Dr. Fauci. But they were talking about a model that's predicting 850 to 4,000 deaths a day in October. Do you think it will be this bad with the Delta variant?
I find that, Grace, given the track record of models, which is really spotty at best, I find that figure stunning. I'm not convinced that it is at all accurate. I think there's probably a lot more reserve immunity in the population. I think probably a lot of there's a fair amount of natural immunity. That is not going to, obviously, you know, the unvaccinated consist of those who are naturally immune and those who aren't. We really don't know what exactly those proportions are. But I'd be dismayed and surprised if it gets to be that bad.
Well, I'm glad you brought up natural immunity, because I saw today a story about an Olympic swimmer who's defending his decision to remain unvaccinated. And that is a question for people. He's had COVID already, so he doesn't feel like he needs to be vaccinated. And I think there's a lot of people in the United States who feel that way. Can you kind of explain how that works?
Sure. And I'm entirely with them. There's no evidence that vaccine-induced immunity is superior to natural immunity. And I saw one very small series that tried to make that claim, but if you look deeply into the data, I don't think it's valid. And unfortunately, even the New England Journal, in which this, and of course we all respect New England, but, you know, the New England Journal and the Lancet, both of whom have been the premier medical scientific publications in the world, have made grave errors during the pandemic, so I no longer take what they say as received truth either. But basically, natural immunity is generally going to provide a richer library of antibody response to your system than vaccine immunity does. And I got vaccinated, and Grace, I am totally pro-vaccine. If you're not sure, and especially if you're in a high-risk category, golly, you know, get the vaccine or do this. And this is what the CDC and the Biden administration and all public health officials should be emphasizing, Grace. There are tests available to the American public that will verify that they're naturally immune. You can test for antibodies in your bloodstream, but those tend to fade after weeks or months. But you can do something else. You can test for T cells. T cells are the library, basically. They represent the library of your body's immunity. You don't have to be producing antibodies constantly. That's a waste of your body's energy. So your body's very efficient. But it keeps the library. So, like, have I seen this bug before? Ah, I have. You know, and then they crank up the B cells and crank up the antibodies. So there's a company called Adaptive Biotech. I have no affiliation with them, but they offer a test called T-Detect, tdetect.com. It's available to the public. It's harmless to take. You know, it's a blood sample. That's it. And if you have T-cell immunity, it seems like a highly valid test. If you have T-cell immunity, you should be exempt from any vaccine requirements. such as they are, and I don't think we should have vaccine requirements. I think that's extremely invasive, but this is where we are.
Dr. Nan Hayworth, again, you guys can follow her on Twitter, at Nan Hayworth. She's a great follow. She's always tweeting out medical stories, but also political stories in general. Doctor, I do have to ask you, we're talking about what the Biden administration and what the CDC, they're very intertwined at this point, what they should be emphasizing. And I'm glad you brought that up, because when they talk about, when they float these trial balloons about potential lockdowns, some people will respond with this and say, they're not actually going to lock us down. This is just a way to apply pressure to people who don't want to get vaccinated. Do you think that's more likely, or do you think they're seriously considering locking down the country again?
It wouldn't surprise me if they gave it serious thought, because there is no depth of stupidity to which the Biden administration and their cohorts will not sink. Let's face it, Grace. I mean, we've basically already crossed the Rubicon, putting that man supposedly in office.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's right. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, we've gone there. We've jumped the shark. So could they be considering lockdowns again? Sure. Because to them, you know, they have no idea how to run an economy. None of these people have ever actually created a job in the real marketplace or signed a paycheck. So what difference does it make? But it's dumb. It's dumb for so many reasons, not just for the economy, but for people's mental health, for people's social interaction. That's vital for many reasons. But could they be considering it seriously? Sure. Should they be? No. Nothing of the sort should be considered. Mask mandates, frankly, have pretty much run their useful course. I don't have as much, I mean, I have very strong objections to lockdowns. Mask mandates are primarily an inconvenience, but they become a way of life that is also inhibitory of normal social interaction. In many ways, especially for children, little children, who should never be required to wear a mask. Anybody who wants to wear a mask and really protect him or herself should wear an N95 filter mask, fully sealed so that all breath goes in and out of the mask. If you do that, you don't have to worry what anybody else is doing. You don't have to worry if somebody else is vaccinated, not vaccinated, wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. Especially if you're vaccinated, wearing an N95 mask, you're good. And, you know, we shouldn't make fun of people who want to wear masks, but we also certainly shouldn't assail people who prefer not to.
I agree. Dr. Nan Hayworth, I'm glad you brought up kids, because there's a lot of talk about kids having to get the vaccine. You know, they're trying to rush this through so that, you know, kids will be able to take it before the start of the school year. And my question for you regarding children is there's a lot of conversation around this vaccine, but there's not as much conversation about their mental health and what this last year has done for them. What do you think, if you had to assess the risk here, what is riskier, you know, shutting down schools, or is the mental health of these kids who haven't had social interaction in so long, are we going to see long-term repercussions of that?
Of course. We're going to see long-term repercussions, Grace. And I've raised two kids. They're now adults. But we're going to see repercussions of this for many years to come. I mean, I don't want to sound apocalyptic, but certainly, especially the younger the child, the more formative the parts of their education that have been thwarted or slowed or denied because of these school closures, you know, the worse it's going to be. Children, the American Academy of Pediatrics in the summer of 2020 very admirably said children should be in full-time in-person school. You can take various precautions, but they should be in full-time in-person school. Now the Academy of Pediatrics, you know, seems to be, and I thought, well, good for them, and they're standing up to the teachers' unions, basically, and since so many of these medical constituencies, establishment constituencies, are now on the left, I was quite pleased. But now I see they've capitulated to the mask mandate crowd. There is no reason for kids to wear masks. Number one, Grace, the way children wear masks, it's really not going to be protective, if at all. You know, these kids, I mean, and I'm not faulting the kids for that. They've got little faces, great big masks, or maybe their masks are size for their faces, but they pull at them, they tug at them, they flip, they blah, blah, blah. You know, that's not actually going to do anything except be mask theater. The teachers who are that worried need to do one of two things: get vaccinated and or wear an N95 mask if you really feel that concerned. And if you're really that much at risk, maybe, you know, they should be positioned outside of a classroom job. Although that said, certainly among the younger grades, children are not considered a major source of the virus, probably because their little systems are so cranked up from all the viruses they're exposed to all the time that they may get a little colonization of their nasal passages with coronavirus, but their bodies are going to fight them off very quickly with their ample library of other coronaviruses that they've encountered in their young lives. A lot of coronaviruses cause mild colds. SARS-CoV-2 is more serious, no question, but there's no rationale for keeping especially young kids out of normal development, and there's really, I don't think there's a rationale for grades K through 12. Let these kids live their lives.
Yes, let kids be kids, as Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, said. Dr. Hayworth, we thank you so much for coming on the show. We hope to have you on on again soon. I mean, you just have so much information, so we appreciate you taking the time to come on the Grace Curley Show.
Thank you, Grace. It's my privilege. Anytime.
I'm going to take her up on that because I like to hear the actual story. I don't know if Dr. Hayworth is going to be allowed on Twitter for much longer. She seems to be spreading a little bit too much real, accurate news, and I don't think Dr. Fauci or Big Tech are big fans of that. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know if you've realized all of the money for your property and if you've sold under the best terms? You wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car. Of course not. So when selling real estate, you want an expert. You want the bidding war experts. For over 45 years, these guys know what they're doing. These men and women, they know what they're doing. They can sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. In fact, this is very interesting. Recent real estate auctions for Grace Curley listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified cash-ready buyers battling for their properties, cash-ready. At the end of your auction, you'll know that no money was left on the table, and that is a great feeling. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. In a J.J. Manning auction, the buyer pays, and that saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars because usually, if you go about this in the usual way with the broker, you pay the commission. But again, in a J.J. Manning auction, the buyer pays. That's a great deal. I'm going to say the number one more time because I get a lot of questions about this. If you want to call Charlie Gill, it's 800-521-0111. Or if you prefer online, go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. 844-500-4242. We still have more to get to. We have Dr. Fauci in gain of function. But I think in the next segment, we're going to talk about the man who accosted Tucker Carlson. Watch out, Texas Democrat lawmakers who are washing your bras in hotel rooms, because there's a new hero in town, and he's going after a father of four trying to enjoy his vacation. It's going to be tough to top this guy. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone. I loved having Dr. Hayworth on. I found that very informative. I mean, they're not going to let her facts get in the way of a good crisis by any means, but it's still nice to be armed with a little bit of information so that we know exactly what we're getting into. Before we go to this Tucker news, which I think people are going to want to talk about this, it really breaks my heart to see where we're at in this country as far as, you know, just being civil with one another. But today's poll question is brought to you by Balance 7. I had a horrible, horrible experience with acid reflux. You guys know I've been talking about it for a while. It usually happens when I have raw onions. And I most of the time tell restaurants, if you could leave out the onion, that'd be great. I forgot. I ate it anyway, and I had acid reflux for about 3 days. And so what I did on the third day, I walked, I'm close to Howie down the Cape, And I called up the mailroom manager. I said, you have to leave me some balance 7 outside before you leave today because it's just brutal. I can't sleep. I took some balance 7. It's a great product. I don't know if you guys struggle with acid reflux or heartburn, whatever it is. It is the perfect thing for it. It takes the acid out of your body. To order today, go to balance7.com and use code word Howie for free shipping. All right, Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who would you like to see in jail the most? Dr. Fauci, Hunter Biden, or Andrew Cuomo?
I'm going to say Dr. Fauci all day, every day.
Dr. Fauci at 33%. Hunter Biden has taken the lead at 38% and 29% for Andrew Cuomo.
All right, now let's talk about this man, Dan Bailey. Dan Bailey approached Tucker Carlson. He was fly fishing. He was shopping, fly fishing shopping in Montana. He's a big fly fisher. There's videos before of him being confronted in, I think it was New York City. He was fly fishing, and a guy went up to him with a video camera. And Tucker managed, through his kind of charm and kindness, to stop it from getting, you know, vicious. He was so nice to the guy that the guy was a little bit disarmed and started, you know, just having a conversation with him. That was not the case with Dan Bailey. Dan Bailey is 100% moonbat. He hates Tucker Carlson with a passion. He clearly has an empty life because he decided that he should accost him at a store when he's on vacation with his family. And we're going to play it, and then we're going to discuss. Let's play Cut 5, please, Jared.
Don't even get my. I don't care, man.
Okay, just dude, you are the worst human being
known to man. I want you to this state, to the United States, to everything else in this world. I don't care that you're not here. What you have done to people's families, what you have done to everybody else in this world. Son, don't call me son. One.
He said he's insulting Tucker, and Tucker says, settle down, son. And here's a tip for everyone. If someone gets in your face, and if someone's trying to argue with you, telling them to settle down is a surefire way to drive them insane, and it makes you look more normal. My little brother, Brian, I hope he's listening right now because I'm calling him out, used to use this move all the time. I would get mad about something, and he would say, calm down. You sound insane, okay? Settle down. And I would get, I would turn into a monster. There'd be like flames coming out of my ears. I'd be so mad. And that's what Tucker did to this guy, because Tucker knows, dude, I'm not arguing with you while I'm shopping at a fishing store about politics. Learn how to separate things in your life. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs, but it gets more interesting because this guy, Dan Bailey, it turns out he's got a pretty interesting gig. For those who don't know, okay, Dan began his work in Mongolia during the summer of 2007. He was working on the Asia Foundation Securing Our Future project. It's entirely possible, I'm reading from American Thinker, that this was a job he held while he was in college, since he received his master's only in 2013. The Asia Foundation, though, isn't just any foundation. Officially, it's a nonprofit international development organization committed to improving lives across a dynamic and developing Asia. In fact, it's the second of an organization called Committee for Free Asia that the CIA founded in 1951. In 1954, the organization got a facelift as the Asia Foundation, but it remained on the CIA payroll until 1969. It still gets most of its funding from the U.S. government, although it's unclear what, if any, role the CIA plays. Now, I'm not trying to connect the dots here. I'm not Maxine Waters. I'm not good at connecting the dots. But that is interesting. I think the craziest part of the whole thing, though, was when this clip went viral, the amount of people who thought this guy, Dan Bailey, came off looking good. It shows you how messed up the Democrat Party is. Ben Shapiro wrote, finding someone you disagree with, shouting at them in public, and then posting it to the web to the wild cheers of blue-checked leftists isn't making the world better. It's only making the world worse. It's absolutely true. Settle down, son. Everybody write that down. If you ever get in a fight with a moon bat, that is the way to win it. Settle down, son. We will be back with more Fauci, more gain of function, and a little bit more Biden.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. So news broke pretty recently. Let me see the date on this. Yeah, today. This is from today. The U.S. will not lift travel restrictions, the White House says, citing highly transmissible Delta variant and rise in COVID-19 cases. Now, Ryan Gerdusky put up a side-by-side of that announcement and then this announcement. Chief Patrol Agent Brian Hastings tweeted, "It's the hottest part of the summer and apprehensions are skyrocketing. Apprehensions surpassed the 1 million milestone in June. Now, this week alone, we've apprehended more than 20,000 illegally present migrants." Ryan Gerdusky put this in perspective and said, "The Democrat hypocrisy over COVID is unbelievably glaring. One set of rules for law-abiding Americans and another one for anyone in the world who makes their way to the Texas border." And just a heads up, the people who are making their way to the border, based off all the reports I'm reading, a lot of them are from other places besides the Northern Triangle, besides the countries where Kamala was trying to find the root cause and stem the flow. They're coming from everywhere. And I just don't think you can tell people who played the game and did the 2 weeks and did the lockdowns, and then a lot of them got the vaccine, that they can't live their lives. But meanwhile, Biden is doing nothing to stop these illegal immigrants. And when asked about illegal immigration, he says, cut one. Cut one, please.
Immigration needs to be in reconciliation. Must it be in reconciliation?
My butt's been wiped.
Immigration.
My butt's been wiped. I don't know how that helps us, sir, with what's going on at the border. And I thought of this today. I think a good question for Peter Ducey, and I'm not trying to tell him what to do. He's a one-horse pony, and he knows how to get things done. You can tell by the way Peter Alexander stares at him during the press conferences. If you ever watch the videos, Peter Alexander, who I think is NBC, is always next to him, and he's always dumbfounded. He's always amazed that Peter Ducey is daring to ask these offensive questions. These real questions. What does he think? What is he thinking? He thinks we allow real reporters in here? No, you ask Fauci about, I'm sorry, Fauci, you ask Jen Psaki about her mother-in-law's cookies. You know, you ask her about the color of Air Force One, the color scheme. You don't ask about Fauci and gain of function and shutdowns. And then last week, I don't know if we have this, Jared, but I would love to play it. He asked, or some reporter asked her, it might have been Emerald Robinson from Newsmax, but I'm not 1,000% sure. One reporter asked her about the COVID cases in the White House, in the administration. And she actually said, why do you need that information? And whoever the reporter was responded back and said, for transparency, you know, I think the American people would like to know. But I think these reporters have to get a little bit tougher. You know, someone saying, why do you need that information? Because we want it. That's why. We want that information. Stop being so nice and giving her all these chances to dunk on conservatives. Be very short and to the point. And that brings me back to what I was going to say here is, I think it'd be great if Peter Ducey said, because one of the tactics that the reporters always use with Trump was, what do you say to the people who say? What do you say to the people who say? And it's a way you could ask anything you want. I think Peter Ducey should say, what do you say to Americans who got vaccinated, if you're going to shut them down again, and yet you're letting these illegal aliens over the border? How do you reconcile that with the American people? And then just let her answer. And she won't answer it, we know. But it'd be nice to have someone raise the question, because when I talk to people outside of work, that is a big, big talking point with people, is how do you reconcile all of these people coming over the border with not just COVID, there's plenty of diseases coming with them, and they're not stopped. A lot of them don't want the COVID vaccine. and no one's talking about it. And yet you expect Americans to just take it and not see this blinding hypocrisy that's right in front of them. It's insulting. Makes you wonder how stupid they think most Americans are. So I would like Peter Ducey to ask that question. Now, speaking of hypocrisy with masks, the Dallas Democrats, or the Dems in D.C., the Texas lawmakers, they're still there. They're still on the run. They're still on the lam, you might say. And it's pretty funny because now what they're asking for, if you can even believe this, I saw this tweet and I'm like, oh, God. First, they tweet out pictures of their Caesar salads and they say, you know, my first meal is a fugitive. Then pictures come out of the bus they were on, had the Miller light in the background. They're on the private planes, no masks. They're spreading COVID like crazy. And then one of them, one of these women posts photos of her wet, sopping bra and underpants in the shower, on the shower rod, and talks about how she's doing her laundry in the bathroom. Well, it gets worse. This is from the account Dallas Democrats. Our Dems in D.C. say they'd appreciate care packages from home. Before 5 p.m. on Tuesday, we're collecting Dr. Pepper, salsa, hard candy, hairspray, travel toiletries, hand sanitizers, sewing kits, first aid, and or money to pay shipping. Thank you. This is what we used to make in school for like people who were in war, you know? You'd send them to soldiers in Afghanistan. Now you're sending care packages to Dallas Democrats, to Texas lawmakers who don't want to do their job, so they're on vacation and costing taxpayers millions of dollars. But they need hairspray and Dr. Pepper. So let's get on that. It's really, I give these people a little bit of credit because they're kind of funny. Like, they have no shame whatsoever. They're never embarrassed. There's never a mea culpa. Let's do a little bit of journalism in the news, Jared.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
So last night I was talking to a friend of mine and we were discussing Joe Scarborough and just the mainstream media. And I said, you know, way back when I first started working for Howie, I would pull a lot of that stuff, you know, Mika and Joe say X, Y, Z, and, you know, it got, every day they were saying something more outrageous. But it's kind of like they peaked, you know, the outrage has peaked. There's nothing anyone can say now that is crazier than what's already been said. At a certain point, when everything is the worst thing in the world, there's nowhere to go from there. You've cried wolf so many times that all the townspeople are going home. And they're turning on their radios and they're not listening to your cries anymore. And that's where I'm at. I don't even pull this stuff anymore. But Carl Bernstein, who is, this is what the kids say, if you're desperate for attention, you are thirsty. This man is thirsty for attention. He was on, Jared, was this CNN or MSNBC?
This was Reliable Sources with Brian Stelter.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. How fitting. He's on with Brian Stelter, and he must have been thinking, all right, what's, you know, everyone's called Trump Hitler. That's kind of old. No one really flinches at that anymore. We've compared everything to the Civil War, to 9/11. Nobody flinches at that anymore. What can I do
since the Civil War?
What can I come up with that will get me, you know, maybe invited back, or will get me, maybe I'll get my own spot on CNN? Really Reliable Sources with Carl Bernstein. And listen to what he said. Cut 18.
I think we need to calmly step back and maybe look at Trump in a different context. He is America's, our own American war criminal. Of a kind we've never experienced before.
You just said war criminal. What do you mean, war criminal?
I did. Well, in international law, there have been, quote, crimes against humanity. I think what we're talking about Trump's crimes as a war, an American war criminal in his own country that he has perpetrated upon our people, including the tens of thousands of people who died because of his homicidal negligence in the pandemic, putting his own electoral interests above the health of our people as they were slaughtered in this pandemic.
Can I add in something at the end there to quote Joe Biden? Not hyperbole. Right, Carl? Not hyperbole. It's absolutely insane. And they wonder why no one's watching. No one's watching because we can't take anything you say seriously. And then you go from CNN to MSNBC, and this is what Joe Scarborough is talking about. Cut three, please.
Joe Biden needs to make the tough choice right now, and he needs to start in his own political backyard. And he needs to tell the teachers union that he's going to require every public health care person to get it, but also starting every public school teacher needs to be vaccinated. If you remember last year, they kept saying, we can't go back to school. Earlier this year, we can't go back to school until we're all vaccinated. That's all we heard, right? Okay, well, we have the vaccinations now. We're starting to hear some rumblings that maybe we can't go back to school this fall because it's not. No, 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 no. That's not an option.
The part of it that cracks me up the most is that when Trump was president, all these people, Carl, Joe Scarborough, Brian Stelter, all of them, all talked about how Trump was a dictator and Trump was authoritarian and Trump, you know, was infringing on our rights. And what's he going to do next? He's going to get the military to attack the citizens. He's going to have to be dragged out of the Oval Office. These people don't even realize how crazy they sound. They're all for an authoritarian government as long as Joe Biden is in the White House. It's very, very bizarre. Let's play cut four.
We have something much greater at stake now, and that is, again, keeping America open in the fall, keeping our schools open in the fall. It's time for Joe Biden. It's time for Democrats. It's time for serious Republicans to start ignoring the ground noise and start focusing on the signal. And the signal is this: if you're a school teacher, if you're a nurse, if you're a cop, you need to get vaccinated. And if you don't, you need to look for another job.
You need to learn to code. That's going to be Joe's next thing. You need to learn to code if you don't want to do what we say you should do. I mean, Joe Scarborough, I don't know how anyone at this point takes him seriously. It's pretty amazing. When we get back, I'll take some of your calls. I see you guys on the lines, 844-500-4242. I also want to talk about Hunter Biden. A new video has surfaced from the laptop from hell, and Jared, could you give people a little tease as to what we're going to hear from this video?
Well, you're going to hear him arguing with his sister-in-law slash lover, and then you're not going to hear much because he's lighting up a crack pipe.
Oh, got it. All right.
Big old silence while he huffs and puffs.
You know what? Once in a while on this show, we have to let some dead air go, you know? If Joe Biden has a really long pause, I always think to myself, oh, people are going to think their signal cut out. People are going to think we have dead air. But once in a while, you got to let the silence play because the silence tells you more than anything else. We will get to that on the other side. I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network, but I can say with confidence that nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. Aviva really is amazing. Jared loves the pizza. I love the pasta and the sandwiches. Jared, you were able to actually go to the Aviva in Malden, and you loved it.
Yeah, the location is fantastic. And they validate parking, which I love. There's a parking garage behind. I believe it's a Jackson Street garage. But I love that. But the place is brand new, and it's wide open. It's nice. You can see them actually making the food. You can see the pizza oven where they put the brick oven where they put the pizzas in. It's fantastic. Marcy and Charles, the staff there, everybody does a great job. I got my favorite, the short rib risotto, and a farmhouse pizza to take home. And I also enjoyed the Aviva Mai Tai, which I highly recommend.
Delicious. And if you want to enter to win the Aviva Trattoria VIP in-studio lunch, all you have to do is listen to Woke or Joke on Thursdays at 1:30. It's a lot of people's favorite segment from the show. You call in. You call in, you guess, is it woke or is it a joke? And then if you're right, you get entered to win the contest. The guests of the show always have a great time, and Aviva always steals the show, which I'm fine with because I love their food as well. From seafood to their homemade pasta, Aviva has you covered. They also have convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, Westford, and their new location in Malden, which, like Jared said, is awesome. Takeout is available too. So to enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, just tune in to Woke or Joke on Thursdays at 1:30. We'll be right back with your call and that Hunter Biden sound. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
This weekend, I wrote about the DOJ and the FBI after their decision not to pursue an investigation into Andrew Cuomo and whether or not he violated the civil rights of the nursing home patients, where he brought in all these COVID-infected people into nursing homes. And I mentioned in that piece how Hunter Biden is the perfect example of someone who can do whatever he wants, and there's no repercussions. And he said at one point, I'm 100% confident the DOJ will clear me. And I thought, I'm 100% confident they will too. They wouldn't clear me if I did what Hunter Biden did, but if my dad was Joe Biden, which thankfully he's not, I'm sure they would. So speaking of Hunter, though, I'm glad I wrote about him this weekend because a new video has come out. And when I saw this on Twitter this morning, I was at a coffee shop and I was going to play it to hear what the sound was. And then I thought to myself, he looks like he was in a bed and it was kind of a creepy angle. And I thought, I better not play this because I don't want to get myself in trouble here. So I sent it to Jared and I said, tell me if there's anything good in this. Jared, is it worth playing?
It is.
All right. Cut to, this is Hunter Biden on a phone call or a video call with Hallie Biden.
Well, I think we should discuss that while you're there.
Okay,
yeah.
But why did you call me at 9 o'clock in the morning to tell me that? On the morning that the Marine Doubt article comes out.
I didn't know about Marine Doubt.
Well, you did before you started talking to me,
Hallie. You wouldn't attack me, that you would be a bit more humble.
I did not attack you.
And it pissed me off.
I didn't attack you.
You said I'm going to use against you.
No, I said to you, Hallie, I don't want to give you information about this program because I'm afraid that you'll use it against me as not being enough.
I can't keep talking. We're going to go round and round.
I'm not arguing, Hallie. I'm asking you.
Okay, I don't know. I think we should schedule a visit and we'll talk with a therapist. I'm not going to continue to argue, and I don't want to talk and make things worse.
Oh, is this the silence, Jared?
Yes, he is lighting the pipe.
Okay. Just to, you know, give everyone the picture of what's happening during this silence. Hallie's very patient. I would assume he hung up at this point.
Yeah.
What's happening now?
That was it. He just said, yeah, and then he got out, so.
Now, here's a question, Jared, and I know I'm not, you know, I'm not an expert on tech, but does that mean he was recording these video calls?
More than likely, that is what it means. Unless,
because they found the laptop, but normally if you do a FaceTime and stuff, it's not recorded on your computer, I wouldn't think.
Unless there was a program that somebody put in there, or it was like a special laptop with NSA software or something like that. But yeah, no, that means he probably was recording it. I don't know if crack makes you paranoid, but
no, I would assume it doesn't, because he doesn't seem like a man who's very paranoid about anything. We will be back with Toby Leary. Call him now. Get on the line. Any of your gun ammo questions, 844-500-4242, or text Curly to 63566. We'll have Toby on for a full hour, so now's the time to get on the line.